Welcome to the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Boyd Waters, and I have survived another semester of grad school. I even made a 4.0 while taking 9 hours, that's three classes, working 20 hours as a graduate assistant and running my business. I'm super proud of myself, and I am taking a much needed break. That said, I also know I spent a lot of time sitting on my rear end this semester, so I need to spend some more time walking and running, getting some sort of exercise. Which brings me to our guest today, Dawn Marcotte. Not only is she a former teacher, but she also runs marathons. Personally, I admire anyone who can run or even walk for 26 solid miles. I've done 5Ks, which is 3.1 miles, and then also 6 miles is my max, although my running coach would say that that's not too far from a half marathon. So what does this have to do with business or teaching? A few years ago, I had a group of students in my English class who were very athletic. I had spent most of 10 years sitting on my rear end and needed to get into shape, and it occurred to me that the process of going from couch potato to runner would be a great metaphor for the reading and writing processes, two things those students didn't really like at the time. So having done this, I recognize now that the running process has some correlations with running a business too. So when I discovered Dawn and saw that she likes to talk about what she learned about running a business from running marathons, I knew she was someone I wanted to interview. Fortunately, she was game. I can't wait to share with you what she had to say after these messages.
Are you ready to take control of your life? Then you've come to the right place. The Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast is here to help entrepreneurs like you start, grow, and scale the online business you love. Join host Michelle Waters as she shares her journey from the classroom to the freedom of being her own boss. She'll interview inspiring entrepreneurs and share tips and insights along the way. All right, without any further ado, let's get this show started.
Hackers broke into my Facebook account and got both it and my main Instagram accounts disabled. But this has not impacted my business income at all. How? If you're running your business entirely on Facebook, Instagram, Etsy, Amazon, or any other third-party site, your business is vulnerable. Head over to rethinkyourlifestyle.com/protectyourbusiness to learn how to keep your business up and running even when your social media is down. That's rethinkyourlifestyle.com/protectyourbusiness. Welcome back to the Rethink Your Lifestyle podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Boyd Waters, and I am here today with Dawn Marcotte. Welcome. I'm glad to have you.
Thanks, Michelle. I'm excited to be here.
I am glad that you are, and I'm really excited about the topic that you're going to talk about. But first, if you could just give us an introduction and tell the teachers out there, you know, how you are connected with, you know, what we've got going on and with transitioning.
Sure. Well, I actually do have a teaching degree. I have an elementary education degree that I got many, many, many years ago when I lived in Iowa, and I did use it for a semester. I taught basically kindergarten, but it was a case where the kids would go to the public school system half the day, and then the other half the day they would come to our little preschool that we had, or that I worked at. And, you know, I loved kids. I just struggled a little bit with the parents and the politics and all of those other things that go into teaching that school really doesn't prepare you for. Unfortunately, at the time, there was also a huge glut of teachers. It was the thing to become. And so there wasn't a lot of jobs available. So I decided that I would set that career aside and, you know, do something else with my life. So I got into the corporate world, and that's actually kind of where I stayed for the rest of my career. I never went back to teaching in a school system. However, a lot of the things that I've done over the years in the corporate world have involved teaching and training people. So a lot of those skills that I learned that I used in teaching kindergarten, you'd be surprised how many of those transfer into the corporate world. It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary sometimes, you know. Raise your hand. Anyway, so yes.
This world probably needs a few more kindergarten teachers.
It really could use a few more, yes. But, you know, teaching's all about helping people and helping them learn. And that's what I was doing a lot of in the corporate world. So that's kind of where I started. And then over time, I transitioned. I still have a corporate job as my full-time job, but I'm also a freelance writer. I was one of those kids in school who loved English and loved putting words together. And so in the early 2000s, when my family, we needed some extra money. We have a child who's on the autism spectrum. And at that time, the insurance didn't pay for all of the different things that we needed to do to help her become the awesome human that she has grown into. And so we look at each other, we're like, well, how do we make more money? Because until the internet, I don't know the age range of the people that might be listening, but for those of you who are not aware, before the internet, the only way you made extra money was to ask for a raise or get a second job at a brick and mortar situation. And we just didn't have that. We couldn't do that. We had a family, we just couldn't do that. But somebody said, hey, there's this thing. It's called the internet, and you can go write articles for other people and they will pay you. And they did. And it was awesome.
Yep, been there, done that.
Exactly, right? And so that started me on this entrepreneurial journey. I did that for a while, and eventually I got to where I was writing my own books. So I write how-to kind of teaching books across a wide variety of topics, whatever topic happens to be my passion at that particular moment. And I'll write a book and I'll publish it and I'll market it and hopefully people will buy it and I will make money and then something else will catch my interest and I'll move on and write the next book.
Okay. So a couple of things I'm hearing is that, you know, your experience and your education as a teacher has served you very well in the corporate world and in the entrepreneurial world. And also, you aren't afraid of making changes, and you don't, you know, start something and then you stay there for, you know, 20 years in terms of your projects. You kind of like teachers have to make changes, you know, every single hour, every single time they teach a particular unit, you change things up as well.
For sure. For sure. That's exactly it. Yes. And it's still kind of amazing to me how much that prepared me for a world that is not in a school system. You wouldn't think that on the face of it, but it's true. I mean, and especially in larger corporations, they have entire departments that are all about training and teaching and helping their employees become better at their jobs and things like that. But even outside of that, in smaller companies, I work, in a fairly small company right now, but I still spend time helping people learn how to, you know, this is how you do this in Excel or this particular, here's a process to reach out to customers under this particular situation, things like that. So it's just kind of a mindset I think that teachers have that we are always ready to pivot a little bit to help that other person learn what they need to learn to be successful doing whatever it is that they're trying to do.
Absolutely. And thinking of pivoting and being successful, I, you know, was just thinking too that you and I kind of met or found each other over or in a podcasting group on Facebook. And I just ran across your post and saw your one sheet, you know, telling me about who you are. And, you know, I saw, teacher, that's cool. Entrepreneur, check, you know, that box. And then I saw that you have run marathons. And I'm like, whoa. And that really connected with me because, gosh, I think it was about 5 years ago, I decided that I was tired of, well, I'd been sitting in an office chair for 10 years, and then I'd been teaching for 5 years. And so while I kind of walked the laps around my classroom, I wasn't really intentional about being healthier or losing weight. And I decided that walking or
getting out of my office chair and out of my classroom and actually walking and working towards running would be a great way and a great metaphor for the writing process. So, you know, you have kids sitting in your classroom going, writing is hard, I can't do this. And, you know, they're off, you know, playing football and baseball and basketball. And I thought, well, if I start running, then, you know, I can say, hey, you know, I tried to run a mile yesterday and I made it about 50 yards and I had to slow down and walk for a while. But I kept going. And then, you know, the next day, and just kind of talk them through that whole metaphor and help them make connections. And it has occurred to me that that process has connections in the entrepreneurial world and the teacher transition world as well.
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. It's so many different connections. And like you said, when you pick it up, well, first of all, running can be addictive. I didn't think it would be, but it can be. But it's not like you just get up off the couch, like you said, and go out and run a marathon. You know, there's a whole process. There's a system. You have to train and try and learn about how to do things. And it's just, there's so many parallels between it. I think one of the biggest things, especially for teachers, is learning to break down this huge thing that you're trying to do, because a marathon is 26.2 miles. And a lot of people look at that and go, there's no way, that's too big. Yeah. Can't do it. But you break it down into smaller parts and you start with okay, today I'm going to run a mile, and maybe I don't run that whole mile. Maybe I run most of that mile, but then I walk part of that mile. And you just start with where you are at and you figure out a plan with some steps to get to where you want to be. And as long as, at least as far as I, for me, the way that it works, as long as I focus on what is the next step, as opposed to what is this huge goal, I find that I make progress much faster and more effectively. If I think, well, this week my goal, my long run this week is going to be 8 miles. That's what I'm focused on doing. That's all I have to do. I can do that. Whereas, oh my gosh, in 10 weeks, I'm going to be running 26.2 miles. I don't know how I'm going to do that. That's just way too hard.
Yeah. Just that focus,
right? Exactly. And then you don't do anything. And all of a sudden it's time for race time and you haven't done anything. And there's no way you're running that race if you haven't done the work to prepare for it. So I think that's one of the biggest lessons is break those big, impossible tasks down into smaller steps. So if you're transitioning, like you said, from teaching and you want to go work in the corporate world or you want to be an entrepreneur, well, you know, what is the first thing that you need to do? Figure that out for yourself. You know, what do you know what business you want to do? Do you know what your skills are? Do you know what your passions are? Things like that. You know, start with the basic foundational things, figure that out, and then move on to the next step and the next step and the next step. And before you know it, you're going to have a business.
I was thinking too, what you just said about starting, you know, with the first things, you know, where are you going to begin? You know, that's excellent advice. I'm also thinking too, to kind of help you kind of know where to go from there, implement what is called some backward design. So, you know, do what you just said, but then also think, where do I want to be? Do I want to be completely out of the classroom running my own business? Do I want to be completely out of the classroom in a corporate job, you know, doing this thing? Or do I want a side gig, kind of a halfway in between sort of thing, and then start planning those middle steps that connect the two.
Agreed. Yes. You really want to start with the end in mind. I'm a big Stephen Covey. If you're not familiar with Stephen Covey, he wrote the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Sorry. I had a little brain cramp there. Is that the right title? But anyway, you know, it's a book that's over 30 years old and yet still so powerful today. And he was considered to be an expert, and a lot of people have followed along with what he said. But that's another thing about the thing between with running marathons and starting your own business and or whatever, is that just because someone who says they're an expert says something doesn't mean that's the way you have to do it. Because when I read his book, I was in the corporate world and I thought, wow, this is a really great book. But you know what? It was written by, and this may not be politically correct, but an old white guy in the corporate office. Right. It was not written for women. It was not written for entrepreneurs. It was not written for today's world. Now, a lot of it is still very valid for today's world. But one of the things I did when I first started my business was to take that and create some classes and say, okay, this is what he said, but this is how it applies today to me as a female entrepreneur. and change things up and make them my own. And that's one of the things that I think is important as an entrepreneur, is to not just do exactly what somebody who says they're an expert says is the way to do it, because you don't know their background. You don't know their personality. You don't know where they've been in life. So someone like, for example, my father is an extreme extrovert, and he could sell snow to Eskimos. And if he took a process that is focused on making 10 cold calls a day, he would be successful at it because he loves talking to people. He loves that interaction. Now, I'm an introvert. If I tried to do that same process where I have to do 10 cold calls a day, I will fail miserably. I will hate it. I will not be able to do it.
Yep.
But you need to understand that about yourself, but you also need to understand the system and the personality of the person that you're listening to, so that you don't get sucked into trying to do something that just isn't going to work for you because it's not your skill set and it doesn't fit who you are.
I'm going to back us up just a little bit because I heard you say something about like the Stephen Covey for female entrepreneurs.
Yes.
So I'm curious, did you write that book?
I thought about it. I really did. I did not. I actually, instead of writing it as a book, I went, and I think you can, this is how bad I am as an entrepreneur. I think you can still go to my website and access those classes. And all I did was I took each chapter and basically talked about it a little bit. I will have to make a note.
Yes.
Maybe I'll go back around to that
and
do those, and send those back out there, because, yeah, I was so impressed with what he said, because a lot of what he said is very true. But again, he was this man who was very focused on a very particular time and a very particular place and a very particular mindset that is maybe not appropriate for everyone or accurate to everyone anymore. So, yeah, I'll have to go back and dig those out and maybe put those out there again.
And maybe we could talk about that a little bit in another podcast episode.
You bet. I will come back anytime you want me.
Awesome. That sounds great. So going back to the lessons from the marathon, you know, we've talked about you don't have to listen to somebody just because they're an expert. You've got to, you know, figure out what works for you. You've got to break down those big projects. But we also need to kind of work up our endurance. And that's something that I had to work with my students because, you know, I would ask them to write for 5 minutes, and that just was a huge thing to them. And so I had to kind of get them over that and get them to build up their endurance so they could write for 5 minutes, but then also so they could write for longer periods of time or read for longer periods of time. How does that work
Sure.
for entrepreneurs or teachers who are transitioning into something else?
Well, so one of the things I think that people have a misconception about is that you're going to jump into this and you're going to tell the world, hey, guess what? I'm doing this thing now, and the world will all come fall at your feet and fling money at you.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work that way. So there are certain tasks that you need to do to grow a business that you need to do consistently and authentically over time. And developing a process that helps you maintain focus on those things. And I'm actually speaking specifically of things like marketing or creating new products or new things to sell, things that require more time and effort than just 15 minutes, you know, flipping through Facebook,
right?
Which is also something that you probably need to do every day, believe it or not. If you're going to do social media marketing, you need to understand the social media platform that you're going to choose to be on,
right?
And the algorithm and all of the things that go into it. But figuring out a way to spend chunks of time on those things that are important, but are not urgent, they're not emergencies. So if you don't work on your marketing for an hour every day, you're not going to notice that really right away. But eventually you will. Just like in a marathon, if you don't run according to your training schedule, if you skip a day here and a day there, that's probably not going to have a huge effect. But if you skip a whole week, you're going to notice.
Yeah.
And that's going to set you back. Same kind of deal.
And the nice thing about being an entrepreneur as opposed to a marathon runner is that you can like sit down for a few hours, maybe on a Saturday, and schedule that hour per day
Exactly.
In your automation systems, so that way you can do that, but without having to actually sit down right then and do that. Or you can outsource it and have somebody else do your marketing for
you. Yes, yes. That's a great thing to do as an entrepreneur is to help, let other people help you.
Yes.
I think a lot of us start out as solopreneurs because we don't have the money to hire people, or we're too scared to hire people because we don't know how to do that. That's not our skill set. But it is something that can really change your business when you start outsourcing, especially if it's things that you don't like to do.
Yes.
Because one of the first things I did when I started my business was to find a CPA. Because I was like, no, I can't even balance my own checkbook effectively. I'm not gonna. No, I need help with this. And luckily, I had a very good person that I work with. But yeah, when there are things, skills that you don't have, finding someone that does have them and hiring them can be a game changer for making sure that those things get done.
And that's where paying attention to your strengths and your weaknesses, and then doing the things that are your strengths and that you love, and then taking the other things, and instead of just sitting around feeling bad about it, finding other people who have those things as strengths.
Right, right. Because no one's good at everything.
No.
No, I mean, and that's why companies grow to be so big, because they have people who do very specific things because that's what they're good at and that's what they enjoy doing. And they're not doing, like I said before, my husband's, or my, excuse me, my father's a great salesperson and I'm not. So, putting us together, we could do well in a company because he could do the things that I'm not very good at, and vice versa.
Absolutely. And so another important aspect that we need to pay attention to, you can have your systems, you can automate, you can outsource, but you also have to pay attention to the impact that that's all having. Is it doing the thing that you need it to do?
Oh, for sure. That's one of the things I talk about a lot. When I do a lot of content creation on various social medias, LinkedIn and Facebook and wherever. But one of the things I talk about a lot is social media is supposed to be this huge marketing technique that's going to bring you clients and make you rich, and it's going to be fabulous. But you need to pay attention to what's happening with what you're doing. And if what you're doing doesn't bring you the results you expect, stop doing it. So, and that's true when I was running marathons too. I have a brother who actually got me into running marathons. And the way that he runs is he just runs. He just starts and he goes and he sets a pace and he stays at that pace. And that's the way it works. And I cannot run that way. I have tried for years to run that way. But I'm one of those people that I'll run for 10 or 11 minutes, and then I'll walk for a couple of minutes. And then I'll run for 10 or 11 minutes, and I'll walk for a couple of minutes. And I do that all the way through the race.
And you know what?
And I found that...
I am so glad to hear you say that, because I do the same thing. And I was feeling bad about it. I was like, I must not be a very good runner if I can't just run the whole way.
But it's like, no,
yeah.
No, you're not. You're a fine runner. It's just a slightly different way to do it. You still get to the finish line. And if you're not me, you're probably not the last person. I'll be honest, running fast is not something I've ever done. I'm usually maybe fourth or fifth person from the end when I cross the finish line a lot of the time. But I cross.
And
right?
You're ahead of all those people that are on their couches.
Exactly. And all the people that don't finish, because there's usually a fair number that don't finish. So, yeah, I mean, you don't have to be the winner. You don't have to be in front. You just need to do what you need to do to cross the finish line.
So before I so rudely interrupted you, where were you headed?
I'll be honest, I don't remember now. Oh, I was talking about so my brother runs that way and I run a different way. And that's okay. You don't have to do it the way somebody else is doing it, because that works for them.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what works for you. So on social media, one of the things that I do is I try to help people figure out, because they're always saying, oh, you should post, and this is on Facebook, they don't necessarily say this on LinkedIn, but, post twice a day and go in and, be active and do all these things. And everybody's giving different advice. And you could pick someone to follow and do what they tell you to do. And I've done that. And then after 30 days, I look at what worked and what didn't, because my audience is different than their audience. And maybe my audience doesn't care whether I post motivational quotes every Monday morning or not, because they're not liking them and sharing them, whatever. But they really like that infographic that I post on Wednesday afternoons. Well, you know what? I'm going to do more of that because that's what they like. So paying attention to what works and pivoting to incorporate more of that into that system will help you grow.
And I think one of the things to help you continue through that, or to help you endure, is to find other people who are doing what you're doing the way that you are doing it.
Oh, yes. Takes a village, for sure.
So what would you say is the most important thing that a teacher who's looking to transition out of the classroom, what's that biggest thing that they need to take away?
I think the biggest thing is that you don't have to be in a classroom to teach. You can take those hard-earned skills and really go anywhere with them. Because like we talked about before, those skills translate so well to other environments, and people are begging for help and for finding people that can pivot quickly, that can take a situation and address it immediately. They're just begging for those kind of people. And those are some of the great skills that teachers have. And you can do a wide variety of things. Anything that you're passionate about, you can turn into a business if you have the patience to stick with it.
Having the patience to stick with it is so important, because there's a lot of people that will try something for a while. And then when it doesn't work quite the way they want it to, or people aren't, you know, immediately throwing money at them, then they give it up. And that often happens right before they might have had an opportunity in order to be successful and to grow a sustainable business.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a lot of marketing out there that makes it seem like starting an online business should be successful in 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. And that's not true. I wrote the last book that I wrote, it was last year in 2021, was Success Guaranteed, 9 Lies Online Entrepreneurs Need to Know. And I interviewed almost 30 online entrepreneurs all across the spectrum, from had a brick and mortar business to, you know, been in business for 30 years to just starting within that first year. But without exception, all of them said it took about a year for them to pull all of the little bits and pieces together to be able to predict how much they were going to make. Now, that doesn't mean they were making a livable income necessarily, but they were able to say, okay, this month I made this much money, and next month I'm going to make, you know, a little bit more than that. We're growing, but I know that I'm gotten past that. Hey, it's a great month this month, but didn't make anything next month or last month or whatever, right? So I was really surprised at that, but that seems to be about a year, year and a half to really pull all the pieces together and understand what you're doing and have processes in place to be successful.
So where can we find this book?
Oh, well, it's available on Amazon. Please go buy it. It's actually available both as a Kindle book and as a paperback, depending on how you prefer to consume your knowledge. And I have several other books out there as well.
Okay.
I also have a newsletter on LinkedIn that is for introverts, if you have any introverts.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so that's another place that you can find me, is on LinkedIn. So either one of those. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn or Facebook. I'm also on Facebook. Just look up my name, Dawn Marcotte.
And I'll include this information in our show notes.
Awesome. I'm always happy to give a little free advice. I won't say it's good advice, but it's free. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending your time with us. I really appreciate your advice.
Thanks, Michelle. It was fun.
Thank you.
You know something needs to change. Your comfort zone is shrinking, but you need a roadmap to get out. You want to start a business or achieve that goal you always wanted? But what can you do? Rethink Your Lifestyle can help you find the answers. Our Get Out of Your Comfort Zone online course will help you plan and chart your journey out of that comfort zone and into a new, happier you. Learn how you can take action and rewrite your story at rethinkyourlifestyle.com/comfortzonecourse.